You're listening to the Soul Whispers podcast. This is your guide to break out of your fears, follow the path that lights you up, and come home to yourself. I'm your host, Certified Life Coach and Soul Whisperer, Jen Tsui. Before we begin, know that wherever you are in your journey, you can trust yourself. You're being divinely guided, and your life is meaningful. Now, let's start the show. So friends, I hope that you are doing well today, and thank you for joining me for this video. This last week for me has just been a flurry of emotions, like the whole human experience all together in one week. And I'm wearing my emotional sweater that says, "And that's okay" on the sleeve. It's very cute because it is okay to be emotional. It is the thing that I believe tethers us to our humanity, to our spirituality. It helps us come back home to ourselves, to know our truths, to be able to discern what is ours versus what is society's, or what is, you know, your parents, what is your generational trauma that you carry in your body, and all these different things. And I wanted to share some lessons that I've learned over the last few years as I've gone through my spiritual growth and my personal development journey, which I don't really like that term anymore. I really believe that personal development is truly not about fixing yourself or forever trying to heal because, you know, you're inherently broken or there's something wrong with you. I also don't believe in constant cycles of growth, but just because I believe those things doesn't mean that it's that easy to just integrate. And I'm sure that if you've gone through your own spiritual journey, if you're just starting off, or, you know, you've been practicing being more present in yourself, embodying your true self and whatnot, that you've also experienced that as well, that intellectually all these ideas can resonate and make sense, but to kind of flip that switch in your behavior, in the choices that you make in your day-to-day, in the way that you think about yourself, your life, other people, it can be a little bit more difficult. So I wanted to bring to you today this tea time with me. I am drinking a beautiful moonlight oolong tea, and it's a tea that was picked during a full moon, like, and it's actually so delicious. It's so full-bodied, so flavorful, and it's something that when I had it at the tea shop, I instantly fell into mindfulness, into the present moment, and I was like, wow, these different notes are so beautiful and so delicious, and I felt so good, and almost like it was an invitation to my soul to like come out and play. So I'm enjoying that tea today. And if you'd like to pause this video, go put on a pot of tea for yourself and join me, just have this conversation, you are invited and welcome to do so. One of the perspectives that get me through any rough times or bad days, bad weeks, whatever, any times where I feel like my inner critic is really loud, or I'm starting to fall into scarcity or compare and despair, you know, those thoughts that are telling me like I'm not doing enough or that I should be doing more. When I'm scrolling on social media, if I'm seeing posts that instead of feeling inspired by them, I'm seeing them and comparing myself, feeling jealous, or instead of celebrating somebody's win that they're sharing, I'm comparing it to where I am now and how I don't feel that way, I don't feel successful. In those times, one of the perspectives that really helps me is to understand that I am on my own journey, I'm on my own path, and that what is for me will not miss me. When I first started my spiritual journey and discovering more about myself, it really looks like just personal development at first. It really just looks like, oh, you know, you want to get to a certain place, you want to grow, you want to expand, you want to learn how to be more present in your life, or you want to be a better human, kind of. And in that process, for me, I came across like manifestation, positive thinking, affirmations, and this idea that the universe has your back. And at the time, it didn't really resonate. I was never religious, never grew up religious. I was kind of spiritual in the sense of I believed in forces outside of our current reality. I always thought like science was limiting. It was like science lags behind what our intuition might know, or whatever the spirits know, whatever, you know, these weird forces that happen, all these serendipities and whatnot. There's always other forces at play. So I always believed in that, but I didn't understand the concept of the universe having your back. And I think part of that too is like the conditioning that, you know, in this world, everything that you have is created by yourself. Like you go to college because you worked hard in high school and you got good grades and you did the extracurriculars and whatnot, but there's really no other force at play. And what we consider luck is kind of just randomized chance, right? But to understand that luck can be created is kind of given to you by this force that's unknowable to you, right? That is random. And that's kind of the universe that's being at play with you right now. And when you're in this mode where you feel bad about yourself or you're caught in comparison and whatnot, this idea that the universe has your back can really seem like BS. Like, why aren't things happening faster for me? You know, if I know that this is possible for me, if I know that I'm deserving of having more money or having more friends or being able to be happier or create more joy in your life, you know, whatever it is that you want more of, what you want your life to look like, if you know you're deserving of that, like, why isn't it happening now? And then seeing it around you can kind of reinforce that idea that maybe it's not for you. Maybe you're doing something wrong. Maybe you should be doing more. Maybe, you know, what you're focusing on isn't the right thing. Maybe there is another path and these people have figured it out, but you haven't. And if you're going through this right now, I really want to invite you to kind of center yourself back to your own knowings of why you are where you are right now, that your current self has been a manifestation of all the past brains, all the past thoughts, all the past decisions that you've made, all the lessons that you've already learned, all the things that you've already tried, and that has led you to where you are now. And so the brain that you have today is going to be the brain that creates your future tomorrow. And for me, that's been one of the practices of coming back home to myself to drop out of that comparison. Also, obviously, like muting people on social media and just taking those breaks where you need it. Being able to be quiet and introspect and do some journaling for myself. Life is very cyclical. It's always flowing. It's always moving. And there's the yin and yang pull of the universe, right? There's the pull, there's the push, there's the contrast that just exists in this world. And that's a beautiful thing, even though it can feel really frustrating at times when you're stuck in those emotions that are a little bit uncomfortable or that you'd rather not have or you'd rather not experience. But that'd be bypassing the fullness of the human experience. That would be bypassing the depths of which you can feel those positive emotions that you want to feel. And I celebrated my birthday this past week, and one of the things I love doing on birthdays is to reflect on my own growth, my own perspective changes, you know, things that I used to believe before that now has changed or shifted, beliefs that have really served me and that I continue to develop, continue to ingrain in myself versus beliefs that I want to let go. And I think in the past, I definitely thought that a lot more things were in your control than they really were. And that drove me to things like burnout and perfectionism, to, you know, beating myself up when I really didn't deserve it, not giving myself that compassion, the ability to rest and reflect and just be and receive, almost like an addiction to struggle. And I see this a lot in my clients as well and in the world that we live in, that there's almost this addiction to struggle, that you have to struggle. If you don't struggle, then your successes are invalid, right? Like, you can only be self-made. And if you're not, then that's invalid. Then you are not deserving of support, of being listened to, because you don't really know how other people live. And that's out of touch. But why is it okay for us to invalidate our own experiences, to mitigate our own successes and celebrations, for fear that that's going to make other people feel lesser or feel any certain way? And it comes back down to you being able to feel successful in your own self, you being able to feel pride in your own doings, you feeling an integrity with your values and how you go about your life, how you make decisions, how you create success and happiness for yourself. So now one of my go-tos, especially when I find myself off kilter from my center, whenever I feel my peace being disrupted in a way that I don't want to go down, I try my best to surrender as quickly and as easily as possible. I want to surrender to the uncertainty because that's where I actually am allowed to find safety in that. It's funny when you think about it, but I think of everything on a scale, all my emotions on a scale, all of my intentions and values on a scale. And if peace, for example, is on one side, then you can't always be at peace, right? Life doesn't work that way. Life has its way of disrupting and it has its way of of putting lessons in your way, and the mirror quality to that peace is disruption. We think of these leaders of peace like Martin Luther King Jr. and also like Gandhi, all of these spiritual, you know, peacemakers. And a common thread that they have is that they were bringing these ideas to be more in alignment, to coexist with each other, to fight the good fight, as we say, to bring more peace. But there is often so much disruption in society in the way that things currently worked in day-to-day life, all these boycotts and protests and whatnot, being arrested, you know, being at the heart of violence itself in order to spread this message of peace and truth for themselves and hopefully bring it to the world, right? And we can find this within ourselves, where when we feel disrupted, those can be opportunities to be able to find that peace in the turmoil, in the chaos, where it doesn't mean that we're doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean that peace is good and disruption is bad. In fact, it's actually being able to find that bridge between the two that allows us to be able to connect with our inner peace no matter what we're going through. So much pain that we experience comes through resistance, and I've seen this in myself all the time, where we're resisting the, you know, circumstance, how things are going, where, oh, I like wish this wasn't the case, or building my business, right? Like, oh, like I wish I didn't have to be on social media, or kind of fighting with the algorithm or the platform, fighting with the reality of not being fully booked, having people come in for consults and saying yes, but then not following through on that, and then being confused as to why, and wondering, like, is there something that I could have said differently? Is there something that, is it me? Is it them? Is it something else? Do I let this go? How much of like energy do I put into this? How do I just move on? But feeling like energetically anchored to these people. And within that turmoil, like, it can be really easy to believe, oh, I should just be at peace. I should just, you know, let this go, be neutral towards something. But neutrality as a single point is similar to perfection being at a single point. Perfection can only exist in one piece of time, right? Once time continues, once a flower decays, once, you know, you grow older or whatever, like that moment is no longer perfect. That item is no longer perfect. It's no longer at that quality. Neutrality works very similarly, where you can be neutral at one point, but neutrality is almost like you want to take the average of something, right? And if you are moving in the point of being in the disruption, being in the chaos of your mind, and working in that opportunity to kind of flow with the waves instead of fighting the waves, instead of all that resistance that can injure you further and keep you stuck in that cycle even longer, that's what actually allows you to come back to this peace. Because it's almost like rolling with the waves, even though there is this chaos, even though there is this turmoil, you can be at peace, kind of being at ease, flowing with it. And then you'll be able to kind of be at that stillness, and that stillness version of peace that so many of us go to as, oh, you know, when we think about being at peace, when we think of being at ease, we think this meditative guru-like state, and that's not the only way that it exists. There's a whole range that it exists. So this past week, a lot of my surrendering has looked like allowing me to breathe, to drop out of the human ego that always wants more, and come home to, okay, I know that that's what I want, and what do I have control over? What is versus what does the universe have control over? And whatever I have control over is literally just my actions, my thoughts, my feelings. And what the universe has control over is all the other people, you know, other people's desires, other people's thoughts, people coming into my life, people leaving my life, all these different things. And in those moments, that's where you can find a lot of safety within yourself. That to me is one of the examples of how you can live through this paradigm that the universe has your back, is that you surrender and you trust yourself, you trust your actions to be leading you to the intention that you have set for yourself, and you trust that the universe, and you ask the universe to have your back as well. One of the things that I have been working through and that has been a challenge for me over the last few months, almost like half year really, has been my emotional state when I am on my period or going to start my period. I have been tracking my symptoms, and it's crazy because you see like a nice flat line that's kind of like, okay, yeah, like no, not really feeling depressed, not really feeling keyed up or anxious, you know, being able to sleep like a healthy amount for myself. And then the week before I menstruate, it's like, oh, like all these symptoms go up. Like I start to feel more tired. I start to feel more anxious. I start to feel more emotional. I start to cry more and all these things. And then the week of, it's like similar and it starts going down. It's like, it's a very cyclical nature again that I see within myself, but the mood swings of it have been a bit of a challenge, as well as the energetic changes as well. And now, because I've been tracking it for a few months, I can see these very clear patterns and be able to anticipate my needs, anticipate, okay, like this is going to be a week of a lot of just going with the flow instead of pushing through things, not really trying to create more, but really refine, be able to introspect more. I can see like these weeks I might need more like rest and to not stay up late. And this past week for me has been a whole thing because I got sick for a few days. I had like a low grade fever and cold. And then I also got my period at the same time. So it was like, oh my gosh, like can a girl get a break here? But at the same time, it was my birthday weekend and it was phenomenal. I was able to connect with all my friends and we had all these games, ate delicious food. So again, like I said, it's been a lot of emotions wrapped up into one week. And I found myself, you know, over the last few days, trying to push myself to maybe work and, you know, oh, you have this whole last week off and maybe it's time to kind of create a little bit more, but my body really resisting it, my body needing more rest. And over the years, I've learned to give myself compassion for those times. But this week, my inner critic was a little louder than normal, and it was really pushing me into feeling stressed out about where I was and what I was doing. And this is where the perspective of my peace being the most valuable asset that I have, and also my soul's desire being the most wise part of myself, not my mind, not what my mind wants, not what my ego wants, but what my soul wants, being the most wise part of myself and to listen to that. This is where that comes in, because part of this week has been for me to allow myself to rest, however that rest looks like to me, but also noticing, you know, where there has been overrest and where it's my desire, kind of like the inertia of not doing work coming in and making me feel like, okay, I don't really want to do anything, versus where is it my soul's desire to do work? Where do I want to create? Because that creation doesn't have to look like sending out emails and posting on social media and, you know, work in a traditional whatever you would do for work way, but instead that work being, okay, I wanted to create more in my own way, like create poetry and write. I wanted to actually create something with my hands, and we've been working on building a custom cat tower for Cleo and Cornelius, my two cats, and I gotta say, it's coming along really great. But things like that, being able to create new recipes, and in that way, that's where my body and my soul wanted to create. And I remember I used to think, like, if it wasn't directly, like, if your work, you couldn't see a direct line to how what you were doing was going to translate to a result that was going to lead you to where you want to be. For example, like in college, right? It's very simple and straightforward. Like, you do your homework because it's going to get you to a grade, which is going to get you to a degree. Like, if it wasn't that straightforward, then it probably didn't matter, or you shouldn't be spending your time on that, or that's a waste of time, right? You have all these judgments toward these things. And as an adult that's not in college, that's not working a 9-to-5, it can be challenging to find out for yourself and discern what is productive work, quote unquote, and what is like frivolous work, what is a waste of time. And I'm one to now believe that there is no such thing as a quote waste of time, as long as you have created the intention for it. Like if your intention is just to scroll on social media for the next 2 hours, great, but you've made that decision, right? Versus just scrolling on social media. So this past week for me has been a lot of leaning on, okay, what is the decision that I'm going to make right now? Where is it that I want to put my energy? And to know that because everything feeds into each other, right? When I create in this way, maybe there's a message for myself. When I create poetry, when I write, right? When I speak from my soul and do work in that way, it maybe prompts something in me. It helps me, you know, move the wheel and get out of this stuck energy that I might be feeling in. It helps to express myself in another way that's going to lead me to be able to create in a new way for my business or for my content or whatever. Even doing a video of this format where I'm sitting down and talking more about my life and my perspectives and all these things versus from a teaching perspective has come from this rest period that I've been in and being more intentional with how I want to create my media, how I want to connect with my audience, how I want to give back and impact the world, how I want to share what I have to share. It came from watching YouTube videos and vlogs of people who I admire and people who I just found who's also in the spirituality space and opening my perspective to like what's possible and what can you really do when you follow what it is that your soul wants to do, what feels right for you. When we believe that our brains are all that we can trust and when we think that logic and fact and like reasoning are the only ways to go about making decisions, so often we end up constricting ourselves and we end up making decisions and living from a construct that's based and rooted in fear and avoiding certain things, and we end up ignoring our soul yearnings. And what this can lead us to is having relationships that aren't fulfilling, that are, you know, having careers that are okay or just enough, but not necessarily purposeful or driven. It can lead us to feeling safe in our space, but not feeling safe to express and be fully like ourselves, to rock the boat a little bit, to go after what we want, to take risks. It can lead us to feeling muted in ourselves, almost like we have a mask or a governor on us that's not really letting us go faster, be louder, be bigger, show ourselves more to the world. And it also hinders our ability to receive because we only think that we can receive a certain amount and that's for us, that's okay to have, that's good for us to have, that's worthy, but then more would be greedy or bad or not for us or too hard. And when we quiet our minds, that's what our true soul's desires and what we seek are available to us. When we release our fears, when we allow ourselves to feel into our emotions, to feel into what is right for us, what feels good to us, what do we really want to do, and can we allow ourselves to do that? When we drop into that open awareness and listen, that is how we can find what is our truth and the path that really lights us up. When I can, I try to breathe more and worry less, and this is honestly such an amazing practice for myself. I didn't realize how shallow I was breathing. So many of us like hold our breaths throughout the day and we're not really fully breathing. And I did some breath work this morning where I was breathing through my heart, and that was like breathing through the mouth and then exhaling through the chest, and just like feeling all of those sensations come in through the chest. And I could feel like my whole body vibrating, my mind vibrating, my ears ringing, which apparently can be like the interference from thoughts and through all these, you know, different things, different thinking brains and whatever. But to be in the body always reminds you to just be present. And in that same vein, I have realized for myself that I am most present when I am going for walks, like outside in LA, like the sun is shining most of the time, and being able to just be present in a walk. I prefer to actually walk in quiet, but lately I've been going for walks with my partner, and that can be nice too. But being in that solitude where you're walking and just noticing the colors around you, flowers around you, feeling the sun on your face, being able to feel the ground beneath your feet, it really makes you feel smaller in this world in like the best way possible, where you realize like life is okay, like nature's happening, nature grows at its own pace, there's so many other people who are living their own lives that you know, have no idea what they're going through. Just as like someone might not know what you're going through. And that presence is so healing. I saw this TikTok the other day that was really funny, that was like, I thought I was depressed, but then it turned out I just needed sunlight. And I've always said like, oh, you know, it'd be so great if we could photosynthesize, but it kind of is, like, that's the case for us. Like, we photosynthesize sunlight into happiness. I mean, it's vitamin D, you can look into the science of it, but even just the immediate effects, if you're really present with yourself when you're out in the sun, when you're just lying in the sun, sitting in the sun, walking in the sun, whatever it is, get some sunlight. This is another thing that I realized for myself when I was younger. I was like, oh, going for walks, meditating, breathing, like yoga, whatever this stuff is, like that's all bullshit. Like I just like never believed in the power of that. I always thought my problems were so much bigger than like a walk could solve. And I was really arrogant in that way. But being able to actually lower that ego and also come to the terms of not being addicted to the struggle, not being addicted to being, you know, sad and depressed, because it's so easy. Like, there is every single reason possible on this world to be depressed and to be anxious, but that's not where you have to continuously choose to spend your time. And you're actually so much more powerful. Like, what healing looks like doesn't always look like struggling and trying to get through the trauma and the turmoil. A lot of it actually looks like allowing yourself to be in the moment. It looks like allowing yourself to be happy, allowing yourself to revel in this moment right now. Like, in this moment, I have enough. In this moment, I have this time. In this moment, I have this peace. And that's where that can start being built. I have written down here that presence is anxiety medicine, that going for a walk is depression medicine, that exercise and dance is Xanax, like, for overwhelm, and that friendship is the cure for loneliness and spiraling. And it's like, honestly, yeah, because there's so many people who, you know, anti-anxiety medicine doesn't work, where, you know, antidepressants don't work. And I think if when I was younger, I let myself actually truly sink into this idea that, okay, sleep is medicine, that moving your body is medicine, that drinking water is medicine, and paying more attention to what you're consuming and all that stuff, then I could have avoided a lot of spiraling and depression that didn't need to exist. Over the last year or two, I have been grounding myself in more gratitude and appreciation. And the difference between the two is that gratitude is like being thankful for something. It can look like being grateful for the decisions that you've made, the decisions that other people have made, being grateful to receive and to also give, to be able to, you know, do what you do for a living, or being able to have friends who are there for you. And appreciation is really just loving what is. It's acceptance of what it is and kind of seeing that, okay, like, I have enough right now, and being able to appreciate this pillow that's, you know, supporting me, or this tea that is delicious that I have access to. And that's like the opposite of stressing and complaining, is gratitude and appreciation. And trust me, it feels way better, but that's not to say that complaining doesn't feel good, because it does. Misery loves company. So a big lesson here is to not fall into this false hierarchy where, again, like, good emotions versus bad emotions, right? And like, being at peace is better than being depressed, or being grateful is better than complaining about, you know, life that you have and like venting. They're both equally part of life, but it's being able to choose what is helpful for you in the moment and practicing that equal airtime. Like, if you catch yourself, and your brain is wired in a way where you tend to just fall into that negative side of always complaining, always comparing yourself, always stressing about life and worrying and thinking how you don't have enough, practice that equal airtime of bringing yourself back to, actually, how is it possible that I do have enough? Where is it in your life that you are grateful for? And that balance is not only going to bring your inner world more into balance, but it's also kind of like magic, where it makes you notice more things in your external environment, so that it does remind you of, okay, yes, you do have enough. Yes, you can feel peaceful right now. Yes, you are doing enough right now. And it's not easy, right? Being a grateful person, being somebody who can appreciate others, is not necessarily easy, but it is just as readily available to you as is stressing and complaining. So just be mindful and choose what fuel you want to use. One of the other things that's been going on with me for like as long as I can remember being alive is having chronic nightmares. I tend to have really bad dreams, really scary dreams, or just really stressful dreams. And it's been the case for me since I was a child. And over the years, part of me has learned to accept it and live with it. And then the other part of me believes that there is other ways to go about this, that there has to be some healing that's possible. And there's been a few lessons for me in this. And one has been that you don't have to know everything. You don't have to know the reason for everything. You don't always have to like figure out and pinpoint, where did this start? Why is this happening? And whatever. You can kind of just deal with how it is that you feel right now and move from that point forward. I think I used to attribute it to just having trauma in my life, growing up in a household that would, you know, had a lot of yelling, had a lot of turmoil, having personal instances of sexual violence or whatever being put on, and, you know, that attributing to my feelings of not being able to feel safe in my psyche, not be able to feel safe in my body. And being, you know, asleep, it's the most vulnerable position you can be in. And I think part of that has manifested is these nightmares. And for the last 2 years or so, I've been more focused on finding ways to heal that, not as a priority for myself, but almost more from an experimental phase. And I found some modalities that have worked, like doing RTT, rapid transformational therapy. I had a practitioner who I was working with through separate issues, not about sleep, but they do like this audio recording that you listen to that put you into like this hypnosis of what you want your life to look like, you know, how you want to feel and all these things. And it worked great for me personally, but it also had the side effect of allowing me to have really, really restful sleep where I didn't have any nightmares. I don't know if I even had any dreams really, but it was peaceful sleep and really restorative sleep. And it worked for a little bit, ended up, you know, kind of fading away after a few months, but it kind of opened this gate for me that, oh, you know, it's possible for me to not have to struggle with like constant nightmares all the time. My most recent thing that I have been using has been crystals and coming at it from a more spiritual lens. So I wear this howlite bracelet when I sleep, and howlite is a great crystal for anxiety, for easing the mind and bringing more peace and stuff. And it also is supposed to help with sleep and allowing you to have more protective, like, restorative sleep. And I gotta say, like, I love crystals. I love the look of crystals. I believe in the, you know, the healing aspects of just being able to look at them and heal and, like, you know, feel their energies. But in terms of it being able to heal your anxiety or depression or stuff like that, that's where I was like, yeah, I don't really believe that. But I kid you not, like, I've been wearing this bracelet for probably a month now, and the first couple weeks I was like amazed, because it's not like I didn't have bad dreams, but they were all a lot more mollified, like they were way more mild than they had been before. And I was like, oh, maybe this does work. And I've tried sleeping without it a few times. Sometimes they're okay, sometimes I do just have like those bad nightmares again. And so it has been something that I've been like, okay, maybe there's more to this too. I've also, again, like, surrendered my ego and want to be wrong. That's another paradigm shift for me, is like this belief that you have to know things and you have to be right, or that you should be right and being wrong is bad or making mistakes is bad, has really shifted to like, you know, actually I love being proved wrong. Maybe not like I love it in like the moment, but it's a great learning opportunity, because if I can be wrong about something, like my belief that I just have to live with chronic nightmares forever, right? That kind of sucks. That's a really shitty reality to live in. And if I can be proven wrong that no, actually I can just have like really neutral dreams, I can have good dreams even, then like that would be amazing, because I think that that would drastically improve my energy levels, you know, certain days when I wake up, because there's this lag effect that nobody talks about, like the effect of having chronic nightmares. It really sucks. It does suck a lot. And it's funny, I talked to my sister about this a while ago. I don't think she understood fully like how bad I had it with like nightmares, where it was literally like every day, right, for most of my life. And when I was telling her about it, she was like, oh, this makes so much more sense about why you're depressed now, or like why you were depressed growing up, because if you're just spending all night, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours, 6 hours, whatever, however many hours you're sleeping, in emotional stress and turmoil, like that, how could that not affect your day-to-day energy? How could that not affect the way that you go about the world? And so, yes, I would love to be proven wrong that I don't have to live with this, you know, and that there's other ways. So just seeking those different modalities, seeking different perspectives, because honestly, it can just be that one perspective that makes a difference. I got this perspective from another spiritual teacher that I can invite my astral body to stay still, to set the intention that, you know, okay, my astral body, my astral self is not traveling tonight. Like, we're going to stay right here and stay in this reality. One of the ways that I see dreams now and I see myself has come from Doctor Strange, actually, in the multiverse one, where a lot of dreaming is just traveling to alternate realities. And it's not like, oh, it just came from a movie. No, like the movie came from, and like that concept came from spiritual perspectives that have existed forever. And after learning about that, I have been able to see a lot of common threads in my dreams, my nightmares, where I'm oftentimes fighting, I'm oftentimes running from danger, trying to save people, or, you know, having to be in an apocalyptic situation, all these different things. And it really shows to me that a lot of my spirit is this warrior spirit, is this part of me that just always wants to fight and create right or peace in the world in some way. And even that perspective has helped me a lot shift my relationship with these dreams and these nightmares and be able to have more awareness in them, especially like while I'm having them too, like understanding that I can have more control and be able to lucid dream. I also got the perspective of being able to set the intention of what kind of dream I want to have before I fall asleep. And that was really interesting, which I've tried, and I gotta say it hasn't really worked, but you know, that's part of the process. You find new perspectives, you see what works, you see what doesn't work, and you try them, because that openness is what's going to allow you to eventually shift your reality. And to go along with this topic has been this lesson that I have of patience and having developing patience for myself, for the world around me, for other people. And let me tell you, I have been like the most impatient person in the world, but I'm also like one of the most indecisive people that I know. And this has shifted now. So I guess I should say like that I was impatient, that I was very indecisive. I'm way better off now. But I've learned that patience is like receiving compassion from your future self. And it's a gift of gentleness with yourself, with other people. It's like a form of love. And it's also a reminder to be present in your present and to prepare for your future. I think like along your journey, right, you can't always be doing where you already know this. That's just going to lead you to burnout. It's not actually going to make anything come in faster for you. And being able to develop that patience and know like, in this moment, you don't have to be doing anything. You can just be preparing yourself, your mind, your energy to be able to receive. It goes to kind of like my favorite childhood TV show, which I've been rewatching, which is Avatar: The Last Airbender, and where Aang was super, super stressed about fighting the Fire Lord. And all his friends were like, you know, you've been training for this since like we met you. You are so ready. You are strong. You are, you know, skillful. You know, you're courageous. All these things. Like, you have what it takes. Like, you can just relax now. But he was so stressed out in his mind that he just felt like he had to train. He couldn't sleep. He was stressed out. And there's a point where you just can't keep doing more. Like, you can't do more than the divine timeline allows. So when you're manifesting something, when you're trying to reach a goal, when you are working on building more presence or more intention and changing your behavior, changing habits, like, patience is required for that. The last thing I'm going to mention here, because this is getting pretty long, is that in these hard times, again, from Avatar, actually, and a quote from Iroh, is that in the darkness, hope is something that you give yourself. I used to kind of like laugh at hope. I was like, what is hope? I was so stuck in autopilot, and I was also so stuck in my reality that I didn't really understand the thing of hope. But hope is a flicker of light. It's a flicker of possibility, like magic. It can come in the form of, I want to see another day. I want to see if, you know, tomorrow can be better. Like, maybe it's possible that something good will happen tomorrow. Maybe it's possible that my day won't suck as bad as today, right? And just that sense of possibility can lead you to continue on another day, to have that compassion for yourself, to give yourself that patience, to surrender, and to see what happens. And without hope, there's not really a possibility to trust, because you think everything's still in your control, or because you don't think hope exists, you don't think luck exists. There can be no solace in the unknown without hope. There can be no friend when you're alone, and no light to guide you, no relief from the pain. And I also find that, especially when you carry around past traumas with you, or you have a hard time letting them go, even though you want to let them go, even despite like your best efforts to heal and whatever, a lot of pain and suffering comes from that resistance of us holding on to it, of holding on to what other people have done to us, of what we make that mean about ourselves and that suffering. but I want to offer you this perspective because it helped me a lot. And it has helped me really make peace and forgive and forget, you know, the past, where I used to believe like, oh, you should forgive because that's for yourself, but you should never forget so that you're never taken advantage of again, and all these things. I don't believe that anymore. I do believe in forgive and forget, because when you don't allow yourself to forget, which to me, instead of forget, I would replace that with let go and release. If you don't release that past, you're always carrying it around with you. The pain that other people might have inflicted on you is temporary. It happened in that moment. And the effects of it, right, you might not have too much of a choice over, but some of it you do. You have a lot of choice over how it might impact your decisions now. And that agony when we cannot forgive ourselves, that agony that exists when we hold on to shame, we create pain, we create these stories about ourselves and how we're not worthy or how we're not smart enough or how we could have made a difference in our past, and fighting that reality, fighting our past. When we hold on to regret when we think we could have done more or that we could have had more control than we really did, that resistance is true pain, and that is soul sucking. You are responsible for caring and tending to your old wounds. Other people are not subject to it. They don't have to care for you. Like, no one owes you jack shit. And while they can help, you're the only one who can choose to release that pain. So friends, I hope that you enjoyed this tea time with me and you have been enjoying the tea that you've been drinking. If you like this format, then please let me know. Give this video a like and comment down below your thoughts, what this brought up for you. I'd love to hear your insights as well and if this helped you at all. May you have a wonderful rest of your week and be able to find peace and joy within yourself. If you want more perspectives or help integrating any of these lessons, please let me know and connect with me. All my links will be in the description, and I will see you in the next video. Look, I know you're tired of dealing with the same bullshit, so it's time that you listen to your soul whispers. Sign up for my one-on-one coaching experience and you'll peel back the layers that have dimmed your light, clouded your mind, and interfered with your intuition, allowing you to finally see your truth and feel like yourself. I won't just be a coach on your journey, but also a witness to your human experience, a hype woman to your soul's desires, and an ally to the parts of yourself that you'd rather not have. Click the link in the show notes to get started, and I'll talk to you soon.